2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Continuing our series through these two letters to that church. We're talking a lot about the day of the Lord, that period of time when God's wrath is going to be poured out on the wickedness of the world. The church there misunderstood that a little bit, so Paul here is clearing some things up. But he tells us this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let me read to you verses 9 through 12. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this warning. So oftentimes, Lord, we make decisions in our life that come with some very scary consequences. And Lord, if it were possible that we could go back and remake those decisions, it would be wonderful. Or even go back and have a warning about what the future holds. We could choose differently. So, Lord, this morning I do thank you about this warning about the future, and I pray that we would take it to heart, not only personally concerning ourselves, that we would not be part of what we're going to read here today, but, Lord, that we might be your messengers to those who have not yet placed their faith in you and warn them about what is coming. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon our time this morning. May it be glorifying to you and beneficial to us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning we come to some very sad information. And what makes it so sad really is because God has given. In fact, he has gone to extremes and will continue to go to extremes to give every opportunity so that man can not only know the truth about who his son is and what he's done, but so that they would not have to suffer the consequences that we're going to find in our passage this morning. And he gives so many opportunities, goes to extreme, yet so many do reject it and will continue to reject that message of salvation. And at this point in time, what we're looking at here in our passage, at this point in time, instead of trusting Christ for salvation, these in our passage will actually trust in and worship the lawless one, or he's actually the Antichrist, as other portions of Scripture name him. And they're going to suffer the consequences for that decision. And what makes it so sad is it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. I'm sure that most of you know the name Steve Jobs, all right? You recognize that name? He, of course, was the man behind Apple Computers, heavily involved in Pixar Studios and even on the board of Disney. And in October of 2011, he died of cancer. What you may not know is that about 5 years before his death, when he was first diagnosed with cancer, his doctors wanted to do surgery, and they were convinced beyond a doubt that if they did surgery, he would live. He would live. But Steve Jobs, he didn't like that idea. He wanted to try alternatives instead. And while I understand that alternative medicine, okay, has been very effective for some, it was not for him. In fact, many believe, his family included, that with the type of cancer that he had, surgery would have saved him. But sadly, he suffered the consequences of the decision he made. And what makes it so sad is it appears it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. He had a choice, and he chose wrong. I am also sure that every single one of us can look back at a time in our life where we made a poor decision that we wish now we would have chosen differently. Okay? I've shared with you before about a business that I invested in that cost me tens of thousands of dollars. And I used the equity in my home to finance it. I bought a home for $60,000. We lived in that home for 17 years. I never missed a single payment. And 17 years later, I owed $96,000. That's brilliant, isn't it? How I turned $1 million in real estate into $100,000 in cash, right? That's not my situation, but I could write a book like that. Had I to make that decision again, it would be very different, okay? In fact, that poor decision has made me much wiser and even perhaps to a fault frugal, all right? Well, this morning, we're going to look at the sad results of a poor decision that will have no future benefits whatsoever. Okay, the group of people that we're going to look at this morning are where they are because they chose not to receive the truth. And it's sad because it didn't have to be that way. All right, these people in our passage, they rejected the truth and are instead going to follow the lawless one, the Antichrist. And while our passage contains this very sad information about their future, before we're done here this morning, I'm going to counter that sad news with some glad news about today. All right? But before we begin, I want to give you, this isn't my outline for the morning, but I do want to give you four important factors to understand about these people that we're going to be looking at today, about these followers of the lawless one, four factors to understand about this group of people who will worship the Antichrist. Here it is. Number one, these are those who are left after Christ has come for the church. These are those who are left behind after Christ has come for the church. Remember, we talked about this in previous weeks, okay? The lawless one does not come into power until after the church is removed. So these are those who are left after Christ has come for the church. Number two, these are those who do not trust Christ for salvation from sin. We're going to learn in our passage this morning that they did not receive the truth that they might be saved from God's wrath. Number three, these are those who choose to worship the lawless one. Okay? During this time, now not everybody is going to do that, but the world as a whole will. There will be people who come to know Christ during this period of wrath. But these who we're talking about, these are those who choose to worship the lawless one. They will believe in him instead of Christ. In fact, the book of Revelation speaks of these as willingly and knowingly taking a mark as a sign of devotion, of their devotion to this Antichrist. All right? So these are those who choose to worship the lawless one. And then fourthly, these are those whose end, at this point in time, has already been decided. These are those whose end, at this point in time, has already been decided. In our passage today, we're going to find that in choosing to worship the lawless one, they seal their destiny and their judgment. And our passage says they will perish and they are condemned. Sad news. It's very sad news, but it begs the question, why? Why would someone willingly worship the Antichrist? Why will people follow this lawless one? Well, our passage today actually lists two main reasons. And you and I, we are to take this as a warning, all right? Because we get to know what the future holds. But we're going to see two reasons why people in this day and age, in that day and age, will actually worship and follow the Antichrist. And that's our topic this morning. I wonder sometimes how I would have responded 30 years ago if somebody would have told me, you know, that business that you're thinking of investing in is going to cost you $40,000, over $40,000 in the next 8 years. I would hope that having a warning like that would possibly change my mind. Well, this is from God. This is a warning from God. We this morning get a forewarning about the followers of the lawless one, and what it will cost them. Our passage is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, and here is the very first reason, the first reason that people will follow him. The lawless one will deceive them. He will deceive them. Incredible deception. Deception like has never been seen before. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." Now we might be thinking, well, no wonder they're going to follow him. I mean, Satan himself, the author of deception, is going to empower this lawless one to deceive them. I mean, who can stand against that, really? Well, our passage actually implies the answer. And the answer is anyone who knows the truth. Anyone who knows the truth will be able to discern the deception that he is going to put forth. But these right here, they're going to buy into the deception because they've already rejected the truth. They've already rejected it. I'll accept any answer as long as it's not that one. I will worship anything at all as long as it's not Jesus. And when one has a mindset and a heart like that, they will believe some pretty crazy things instead of the truth. Instead of believing that God made the universe as he said he did, they will believe that it evolved from nothing by an accident, by chance. Instead of believing there is right and wrong, they will accept everything except what they see as wrong. Figure that one out. Think about that a minute. Instead of recognizing Jesus as God in human flesh, they will trust in his counterfeit. What's that old saying? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. There are some that believe the origin of that saying actually came from a newspaper ad that was run 100 years ago by a little church. And in it, they're talking about the truth of God's word. And they said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You'll fall for anything. Well, as a result, the lawless one is going to exploit that. And he is going to deceive them. And here's how he's going to do it. First of all, he is going to be empowered by Satan himself. Satan, as we learn from Scripture, is an angel that God created. He is also called the devil, all right, the adversary. His original name was Lucifer. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, it describes him, okay, as the most beautiful, the most powerful, and the most magnificent angel that God had created. But because of his exception, he became prideful. Prideful to the point that he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be worshipped as God. He in turn rebelled against God and even gained a following of other angels. We call them fallen angels or demons today. And right here is his window of opportunity to be worshipped by the world through this man called the Lawless One. In fact, if you peek down at or back at verse 4, chapter 2, it says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The Lawless One is going to be empowered by Satan. He will also, secondly, be a counterfeit Christ. Everything that Satan does not always appears evil. Okay? In fact, believe it or not, Satan is responsible for much of the good that is done in the world. Because if people believe that they can be good without Christ, they'll never come to see their need for him. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, appearing to be good. And at this point in time, he will actually become or put himself forth as a counterfeit Christ. How? Well, he will have powers. As Jesus performed miracles to demonstrate who he was, this lawless one powered by Satan himself will counterfeit that power. Much like Moses when he went before Pharaoh and turned his staff into a snake. By God's power, the Pharaoh had magicians that counterfeited that by Satan's supernatural power. Well, that's what's going to have here. And get this, in Revelation chapter 13, this Antichrist, this lawless one, will even be mortally wounded, okay? And he will come back to life. He will heal himself. A wound that should now, no doubt, be his end. And he will instantly and publicly recover. A counterfeit of Jesus' resurrection. He will have miraculous powers. He will perform signs as Jesus did, miracles and powers. He did them to authenticate the message that he was bringing forth. Well, this fellow is going to do that. He will do wonders as Jesus did things publicly that could only be done supernaturally, by supernatural power. This lawless one will do that and the world will be in awe. They will be in awe. The beginning of verse 10, it tells us, says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish." It'll be an incredible deception. He will do many of the same kinds of things that Jesus did. Things that will look good to the world, but in essence are evil. Because they're counterfeit. They're designed, as our passage says, to deceive and keep people away from the truth. And that is, in essence, wicked, evil, unrighteous, no matter how good it may appear. He will be empowered by Satan. He will be a counterfeit Christ. And he will deceive the perishing. These are those, again, whose destiny at this point in time has already been decided. Because when Jesus did miracles, signs, and wonders, so to prove that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, they rejected that. But now, as this world leader arises and does the same kinds of things, counterfeit things, they will believe him. Anything at all, but Jesus. Anything at all but Jesus, and they will perish. Why are they perishing? The end of verse 10 says, "Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." They did not believe that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. as Romans 3:23 says. They did not believe that God demonstrated his own love toward them, and that while they were still sinners, Christ died for them, as Romans 5:8 says. They did not believe that the wages of sin is death, that is separation from God forever, as Romans 6:23 says. They did not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, as Jesus himself said in John 14:6. And they did not believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, as John 3:16 says. No, they will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, as 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says. And for this reason, verses 11 and 12, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The first reason that people will follow this lawless one is the lawless one will deceive them. But the second reason is the Holy One will delude them. God himself will dispatch delusion upon them. He will allow strong deception to basically have its way with them. That's not only sad, but I don't know, to me, that is terrifying. That is terrifying. You want to believe that the man of lawlessness is God? Well, then I am pulling out all of the stops. I'm going to remove logic and truth from the picture entirely and allow you to believe it with all your heart, to believe that deception. Have you heard of the radius action formula? Anybody here heard that term before? You'll know it better by another term. But Oxford Dictionary says it is the technical term, that is the technical term in air navigation to refer to the point on a flight at which, due to fuel consumption, a plane is no longer capable of returning to the airfield from which it took off. Okay, it is used in sea navigation as well and is most often called the point of no return. The point of no return. And in both cases, it is a specific point en route where one's course that one, or I should say, it is a specific point en route where the course that one is on is the course that one is on. Period. No turning back. Well, I want you to know that 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But at this point in time, as one has abandoned the truth, upon one's allegiance to and worship of this counterfeit Christ, there will be no turning back. And God will abandon them. That is one of the most terrifying passages of Scripture, I think, in the entire Bible. I mean, here God is. We are 2,000 years plus years out from Jesus Christ. God is so patient, giving exception and opportunities for people to trust in him. But at this point in time, there will be no turning back. This is one of the most terrifying teachings in God's Word, but it demonstrates perfectly both his grace in giving abundant, undeserved opportunities to trust in Christ. Again, 2,000 plus years now, and then even after the church is gone, there will be people, I believe, that will come to trust in him. However, they are going to have to endure what is taking place on this earth. But those who choose to worship this lawless one, the Holy One will delude them, and they will believe the lie. They will believe the lie. They will believe with all their heart that this counterfeit is a god. and God will allow them to believe it. They will be condemned. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved the darkness rather than the light. And Matthew 25:41 says, they are condemned to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that I've brought this up, it prompts a few misnomers about hell, perishing, and condemnation. I think we need to understand these in light of what we're reading here, okay? First of all, hell is not where the devil and demons live. Did you know that? Okay, hell is not where the devil and demons live. In fact, the devil and demons don't ever want to go there. But one day they will. Hell was actually created by God for the devil and the demons after they rebelled. Okay? Because they rebelled and did wickedness, this was a place that God created after that for them. The third thing we need to understand is that hell was never, ever intended for people. It was never intended for people, and only because of the infiltration of sin into the world by the devil and men loving the darkness rather than the light and not trusting in God's plan to save them from it are people destined for it. They, as verse 12 says, did not believe the truth and rather delighted in error. The lawless one will deceive them. The holy one will delude them. And therefore, these that we're reading about here will be condemned. This is some sad information. It's sad because God does give every opportunity so that man can know the truth and not have to suffer the consequences of his sin. Yet so many reject it. And at this point in time, instead of trusting Christ for salvation, they will trust and worship the lawless one, and they will suffer the consequences. And it's sad because it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. Prior to this, they yet had opportunity to change their course. The sad news is, these are those who did not trust Christ for salvation from sin. These are those who are left after Christ has come for the church. These are those who choose to worship the lawless one. These are those whose end has already been decided. And as we began this morning, I told you that I wanted to counter this sad news with some glad news. And here it is. Christ has not yet come for the church. The lawless one has not yet been revealed. God has not yet sent strong delusion. And you are not yet past the point of no return. Steve Jobs' biographer said that Steve, in his last days, verbalized that he regretted not doing the surgery. He regretted focusing on alternatives. He regretted not doing the one thing that could have saved his life. But by then, he was past the point of no return. Don't let your life end with regret. You still have the opportunity right now to change your course. You don't know where your point of no return is. This is one of the points of no return that is coming up. But our physical death is another point of no return. If we physically die, having not made that decision to trust in Christ and the salvation he offers, it's too late. It is too late. You still have the opportunity to change your course. How? Well, twice in our passage today, it's been implied that believing the truth is the only thing the only thing that will keep a person from perishing and condemnation. Whether it's during this period of time or right now. Every person who does not trust in God's plan to save them from the penalty of sin is destined for condemnation and to perish. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This tells us that by nature, we are all guilty before God and disqualified from heaven. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." That's separation from God. But it goes on and says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This tells us that sin separates us from God, but God's plan was to offer a gift through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness or perfection of God in him." And it is only through that we can qualify for heaven. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. We talked earlier about signs and wonders. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ after being dead 3 days was the ultimate sign of who he is and what he could offer. He is God in human flesh who came to die for our sin, rose again the third day to prove that he could provide eternal life to any and all who will trust in him. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And right now, you have the opportunity to change your course. You don't know if tomorrow is your point of no return. So will you trust in Christ? Yes or no? Will you trust in Christ? I want to read you a passage here, and then we'll close in prayer. It's from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's God's gift to humanity. He sent his Son to save us from a penalty. We don't know when our point of no return is. And my encouragement to you this morning is if you haven't already, trust in him today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this warning. And I do pray, Father, that if there are some here today that have not recognized their sin nature, that they have not recognized who you are and what you have done for them, Lord, that they would not leave here this morning without professing faith in you. Just telling you, Lord, I believe you. Thank you. Father, for those of us that know you already, that we some time ago have placed our faith in you, we have that eternal relationship that is promised through Jesus Christ. I pray that this passage this morning would serve as a reminder to us concerning those around you who do not yet know you. I pray, Father, that this would develop in us because we don't know when their point of no return is coming. I pray that it would put in us a fire of need, I guess, a fire of desire to share the truth of your word with those around us. A sense of urgency, Lord, about it. And Lord, I thank you for this warning. I thank you that you give the opportunities that you give. Abundant, excessive maybe even, opportunities to allow people to trust in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us even in that. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Father in heaven, I do pray that you just dismiss us now with your blessing and your empowerment. And Lord, help us to bring the message of your love, grace, and mercy to those that so need it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.